Today, as we continue this series that we're going through in the Minor Prophets, we're in week number 3, so we're looking at the third book, the book of Amos. And it's all about enduring grace. Listen to these words that were written by Amos in chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. It says, "This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, 'What do you see, Amos?' 'A plumb line,' I replied. Then the Lord said, 'Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam.' Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. 'Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying: Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land.' Then Amaziah said to Amos, 'Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom.' Amos answered Amaziah, 'I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, "Go, prophesy to my people, Israel." Now then, hear the words of the Lord. You say, 'Don't prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the descendants of Isaac.' Therefore, this is what the Lord says: Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." Very tough words that are spoken there. And Amos, he has this vision. God gives him this vision. And in this vision, God is standing there with a plumb line, with a wall that has been built. It has been built true and straight. He's holding this plumb line in his hand to confirm that the wall has been built true and straight. This one I actually use at work. If the wall is true, then the plumb line will prove it. If it is not, then the plumb line will also show that. Israel. Israel was found to be sorely wanting. She is deviated from God's ways. Amos was called to prophesy God's warnings to the people. He was not a professional prophet. He was just a shepherd and a gardener. But God needed a voice, and so Amos became that voice. He spoke the word of God faithfully, and I feel he did it even with great courage. Can you imagine having to go and challenge an entire nation to return to God and to turn away from this judgment and to turn from the evil things that they're doing? Now, Amos, he did not overstate his case. He did not exaggerate. He just tells it like it is, like God had instructed him to. Now, Israel is prosperous at this time, rich, successful, but in a very bad shape spiritually and morally. She has gone after these many other lovers, as Hosea revealed to us a couple weeks ago. She has the look of religion, but no intimate relationship with God. She's proud. She's arrogant. She's oppressing the poor and exploiting the needy. And so Amos comes along, and in a sense, he takes a mirror and he holds it up so that the people can look at themselves. to judge for themselves. I didn't even know if I was at the right angle or not. He began with the words of God and in chapters 1 and 2, pronouncing judgment on all the nations, ending with Judah and with Israel. If you glance through chapters 1 and chapters 2 of the book of Amos, you'll see this phrase that's used over and over again. For three sins, even for four. I want to read for you from Amos chapter 2, at verses 4 through verse 8. Listen to how God finishes and how he addresses Judah and Israel. He says, this is what the Lord says. For three sins of Judah, even for four, I will not relent. Because they have rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his decrees. Because they have been led astray by false gods, the gods their ancestors followed. I will send fire on Judah and will consume the fortresses of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not relent. They sell the innocent for silver, the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground. They deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. In the house of their God, they drink wine taken as fines. Now God saw them all. He saw all the sins, all the things they were doing wrong. And he's not saying here, there's only three or four of them. He's simply using that to highlight some of the very things that characterize them the most. God here is giving them a warning. God is telling them that if they continue down this road that they're going, this path that they're taking, then they would face some very dire consequences. You see, God's warnings, they are an act of grace. As the righteous and holy God, he could have executed judgment on them right then and there, and no one would have faulted him. But in his grace, God showed restraint. God, he was patient. Now, one of the unfortunate pictures that we have of God in the Old Testament is that he's mean, that he is fierce, because all we read about, all we think about are his judgments and the harsh things that seem to happen. How can God be so cruel, you may ask? But we forget that God has tolerated sin for an awfully long time. He has given the people time. Actually, he has given us an awful lot of time. Now, did you notice that having seen all of man's evil doings, all of his sins, God's responses were, I will send fire, I will destroy, I will. You see, God's disciplines, they are placed in the future. He is giving us time. Time to repent. Psalms 145 at verse 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. You see, God's warnings, they are an act of grace, but God's warnings are also an act of love. In Amos chapter 3 at verse 7, it says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophet. God, he will not punish without first sending a warning. In chapter 2 at verses 11 through 13 of Amos, it says, I also raised up prophets from among your children and Nazarites from among your youth. Is this not true, people of Israel, declares the Lord? But you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets not to prophesy. Now then I will crush you as a cart crushes when loaded with grain. Now, the Nazarites, if you don't know, they were young men who were specifically set aside for God. They were dedicated to God and to his use. They never, ever cut their hair, and they never drank wine. And here the scriptures tell us that these people are forcing these young men to drink wine. So the Lord is left to do what verse 13 says, that he's going to crush you as a cart crushes under this load, under this weight of the grain. And then from verse 13 on, there's this whole list of judgments that are coming. And as Amos speaks, God is still giving the people time. In fact, God actually gave them another 40 years before Israel fell to the Assyrians. Heed God's voice. Each time that you are convicted by the word, each time you feel that the Spirit moving, that God's speaking to you, you need to listen to it. You need to heed it. You see, all of this, it is very serious business to God. Repentance, it is a step towards blessing. Judgment, it is never God's choice. Actually, it's man's choice. God, he never condemned anyone. If you read in John chapter 3 at verse 17, it tells us very clearly that Jesus came to our world to save us and not to condemn us. We condemn ourselves by the choices that we make, the choices and not turning away from our sinful ways and doing these and not following after God. We condemn ourselves. Now, Nineveh, which we'll look at in a few weeks, they actually did the right thing when they heard this very reluctant prophet named Jonah, when he spoke to them, and they repented in sackcloth and in ashes. God, he gave them time. He gave them a chance, and they took it. They seized the opportunity. God, he had given Israel many chances. In chapter 4, verses 6 through 12, listen to these words. I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town but withheld it from another. One field had rain, yet another one had none and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards, destroying them with blight and mildew. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I sent plagues among you, as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword, along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, Israel, prepare to meet your God. What God was doing was he had left prompters all along their path, all along their experiences. Do you know God does that in our lives as well? Giving us his message, his guidance through friends, through messages we hear, through the experiences that we live in our lives. Those messages, those prompters are there to remind us to return to him. And if God, if he is really present with us, then this is surely what we can expect from him, his guidance and his direction. He will speak to us. He will warn us. He will guide us. We need to take note of what God is saying and doing in our lives. He's leaving these post-it notes stuck all around for us, telling us what we need to do. Now, I don't know how many of you actually have a smartphone and you actually use it. On mine, I have this thing called Google Maps. It's awesome. You type in the address, and it will find the best route for you in real time based on traffic conditions and the way things are, and it will tell me how to get from here to wherever it is I'm going. The best way possible. And if I veer off, which is actually kind of fun to do sometimes, it will quickly recorrect and try to get you back on track to get you there the safest, fastest route. You know, that's what God does with us. He has given us the fastest, the safest route to get from here to there, which would be eternity. And he's given us directions on how to get there. But are we listening? See, it's not that God is not guiding us, that he's not directing us, but we're not listening to him. We are not paying attention. You see, God's warning, they are an act of grace. God's warnings are an act of love. And God's warning, they are an act of hope. It is our hope for a better life, a better future. And the only way that man can live this fulfilled life is to do it God's way. The plumb line vision that Amos had. It is a very important vision for us. First, because we need the plumb line to know what is true, to know what is straight. And second, which is even more important, we need to align ourselves to the plumb line. See, we study the scriptures not just to know God, to know about God and to know his will, but to align ourselves with him and align ourselves with his will. And the book of Amos, it is a call of God's people. It is a call for man to return to God and to his ways. The Bible, it's not simply an encyclopedia to help increase our knowledge. It's not some self-help book to make our lives easier here on earth or to make us more comfortable. The Bible, it isn't written to give us the steps to overcoming worry or to teach us how to manage our finances or to be successful in our work and our jobs and how to conquer our fears. Although God does provide some direction and some guidance and some answers to all of life's problems, the Bible, it was primarily written to reveal the character of God to us and to give us a call to return to him and to live more like him. And that movement, that moving toward God and living more like him is important because we are called to align our lives to the scriptures. Not to somehow use the scriptures to align to our lives. You know, to feed our needs, to heal our hurts, or to somehow make us feel happy and better about ourselves. Now, David F. Wells, who was a professor at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, he put it this way. He said, we study the Bible to listen to his voice that comes from outside our experiences. Not to listen to our own voice that is crying from within. His word is not one of many. It is the only word that has been there from all of eternity because it comes from an eternal God. God then is not there for our use when we need him. We are here on earth for his use. He is not there for our benefit as if he were some product. We are here for his service and his glory. Again, the Bible's not an encyclopedia to feed our minds simply with knowledge, some good reading if you want. The Bible is the very revelation, the very inspired word of God. His being, his doings, his will, his way, his guidance, his roadmap, if you will. And we are called to do and to be like him and to follow that. Take a good look at the plumb line. Are you off? How close are you living to God's will? Need to check it often. If you're doing construction, you will use levels, you will use plumb lines. As you're building, you will use them often. That's the only way you will know what you are building and what you're doing is true and guidance. See, we want to align ourselves to God's will and his guidance, God's ways, God's plans. God, he doesn't exist for us. We exist for him. We live for him. We live to glorify and to exalt him. Where are you at today? Are you plumb? Are you true and are you straight, or are you off a little bit? See, God, he is not here to condemn you. He is here to save you. However, the choice, it is still yours. It is always yours. God warns us because he is gracious. God warns us because he loves us. God warns because that is the only hope that we have. Are we listening to his call? If there's somewhere this morning where you're off, where you're not quite online, if you're not quite plumb, are you willing to turn around? Are you willing to repent that, to confess that, and to return to him? You see, God, he's serious with you. The question is, are you serious with him? You see, Jesus loves us. He loves us so much, he's willing to give us warning and to put up with us at times. But we need to work at becoming true, at becoming plumb.